Welcome to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're here with Trianon Scientific Communication. I'm Audrey.
And I'm Marcus.
And we have today, as a guest, Caddy Guy.
Good morning.
Okay, so Caddy, tell us about you. Who are you? And also, what brings you to become this superstar of HR today?
Thank you, Audrey, and Marcus for this invite. And superstar, wow. This is a strong word. Who am I? So my name is Caddy, and if I really have to start from the beginning, in a nutshell, I'm born and raised in Belgium, in a city called Ghent. So I went to school in Dutch, and then I moved to Brussels capital because I wanted to have my independence. So I studied a master in translation because I'm interested in languages. And after that, I also did a master in human resources management. I'm the proud mom of two daughters who are 16 years old and 22 years old. I have Senegalese roots, and I'm highlighting this because I get the question all the time, where are you from? Or where are you really coming from? That's why I'm mentioning it, but not only. Professionally, I started as a sales assistant, translating technical manuals from German, Dutch into French. Mm-hmm. And I quickly understood that having dictionary as my only companion was not my cup of tea. I have a passion and a genuine curiosity for people. So I shifted into the HR world. And at that time, I didn't know nothing about HR or the structure. So I started in a temporary staff agency and then made up my way, learning new skills, becoming a leader, becoming a manager. And this has brought me to Chicago, where I'm based now as a manager HR for an airline company.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for this introduction. In medias res, the COVID pandemic obviously had disastrous effects on the airline industry in general. We can see that every evening in the news. What were the specific effects you faced in your HR department?
I think, yeah, as you mentioned, the pandemic has hit all the industries and airline in particular. From an HR perspective, and I think it's applicable to various industries, I think we never worked so hard as during the pandemic, if not even more. So it's suddenly having to rethink the way that we are operating with our workforce, the way that we are managing our employees remotely, as the majority of them had to work from home. But with the airline industry, we still have a population that is unable to work from home. So it's rethinking the whole design in terms of scheduling, ensuring their safety. And yeah, this was, it happened sudden, very fast. But yeah, it's having all hands on deck, a lot of coordination with different departments, because it's a situation that we never encountered before.
At the moment, it is not yet clear whether lockdown becomes the new normal or whether we will one day return to the life we knew. In case lockdown does indeed become the new normal, how could the airline industry adapt to such a scenario?
For the airline industry, I think if I just go one step back, I think generally as a company or even as a society, the lockdown or this pandemic has taught us many lessons. And one of them is that we can no longer operate or live the way that we used to live until now. I see in this crisis a lot of opportunities to do things differently and in a better way. One example is that for the airline industry is how do we work collectively for the better good, for the greater good? Because the airline industry, it's not only airline companies, it's also working together with the airport, with the security, with the different organizations from a governmental perspective, so that we have like a common goal. And the common goal is to ensure that the airline industry is still viable so that our customers feel comfortable and safe to travel again. And this requires everyone to think and collaborate together for the greater good.
I see. One final question from my side. Just like everywhere else, increasing automation and increasing robotics is a big trend in the airline industry. You in HR, who will you be working for in 10 years?
Oof, that's a great question. I'm already struggling when I get the question like in 5 years, so 10 years. That's a great question. I don't know. I think, you know, in my case, personally, I feel like as long as I have the satisfaction that I'm bringing value to what I'm doing, that I'm creating impact, that's the most important to me.
Okay, that's very nice. So I'm going to take over now and let's go a little bit back in what you said. I would like to go back to the employee having to work from home today. And my question is, so we're seeing today more and more companies that realize that the well-being of the employee is important. For what I know of you, it's something that you already knew. So my question is, did something change really now that the COVID has hit and the way of working has to change, or is it just a continuation of the work you were already doing?
In my case, Audrey, and thank you for that comment. Indeed, the way that I operate as an HR leader, I don't know if I'm unique. I wouldn't say that, but for me, it's not about human resources. It's about human relations. It's really putting people first. I've always done that, and I will continue doing that. And for me, again, you know, when there is a crisis, I always see the crisis as an opportunity. So the pandemic, as an HR leader, I'm supporting employees and leaders. And during the pandemic, I've been able to observe and witness, even virtually, the true colors of people. Managers, leaders, because let's make a distinction, and also employees, people that are stepping up, and others that are just struggling with the whole situation. And myself, I've been able to really utilize my emotional intelligence to provide the right support to leaders and employees by storytelling, as one example, because we are in a situation where there is a lot of anxiety, there is a lot of uncertainty. And as a leader, it's okay that you do not have all the answers. As long as you are true to yourself, that you are loyal to your employees, and that you communicate on a regular basis and showing the right level of compassion and empathy. That's what they need.
Okay.
They are not seeking for the expert in everything. They are seeking for a leader that is communicating in a smooth way, showing empathy, and that there is this two-way process of having that necessary flexibility that we all need right now. Because it's about, I always say that it's about the mind, the soul, and the body. And particularly with the virtual environment where, you know, we don't necessarily have a culture where we ask people to have their camera on all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think that you can make that mandatory all the time, because imagine 8 hours with your camera on all the time. I mean, you have the Zoom fatigue. So for the well-being of your employees, you have to adapt and adjust.
Mm-hmm. And so can I Can I foresee that you manage to keep the level of engagement of your employee as high as before the COVID, or even higher?
Yes. And I get that question all the time, because the assumption from outside is like, oh, wow, the airline industry is really impacted and people are affected. Yes, the situation is not easy. But, you know, when we have that together spirit, it's it makes things a little bit easier to overcome. And focusing on what we do control, as we know that we will bounce back, but we just don't know when. So it's really on a regular basis, having that positive mindset and fueling our employees with that mindset of positivity. And I'm not saying that everything is, you know, doom and gloom, but, you know, we had to reduce our workforce. Like any other company, not necessarily limited to the airline industry. That's because of the nature of how the world is operating and the economics and the geopolitical situation. But next to that, I feel comfortable in the airline industry. My personal example, I moved in the midst of the pandemic. And I remember that, you know, my friends in Belgium were telling me, are you crazy? You're moving in the midst of the pandemic. And you know, in the US, how they fire people in 24 hours, you can be off the street. And I'm like, you know what? I trust my company.
Yeah.
If they're supporting me in that move, it's not to terminate me after a couple of months. And you know what? Even if that happens, you know, it is what it is. There, things happen for a reason.
Okay, you're very positive, as I see. Well, at least we can see it probably translates in your job. That's why we see that now. We heard that. Well, you managed to keep engagement, quality of life of the employee, social cohesion, which is quite great. You were talking earlier about, you know, people who take the change and step up, people who take the change and struggle more. Did you put things in place to allow everybody to go on, you know, on the personal development level, to step up when necessary, or learn that the change is not always losing something, but maybe gaining something?
Yeah, we have, you know, in HR, we are not necessarily very innovative in comparison to other departments. We're inventing the wheel all the time, and that's, you know, general for every HR division in an organization. So I think the pandemic for us has really given us the opportunity to not only innovate, but also transform a lot of our processes. Some processes, we have been able to automate them, where in a normal situation, pre-COVID, it would have taken years before being able to implement something. And now it took us a couple of months to not only implement, but also to support the change management process. So innovation in HR, in terms of well-being, we have offered a lot of well-being programs to our employees, not only locally, because again, this situation has enabled us to provide virtual support to our global workforce. Mm-hmm. Pre-COVID, we were sometimes not always being able to offer the same level of support to our international workforce. Mm-hmm. So this barrier is slowly but surely being removed. So in terms of well-being, there was not one single week where we do not get either a webinar or update information on COVID-19, not around the figures, because I mean, if you watch the news, you have those information. That's not what we need. What we need is really like getting educational information so that we can, as an employee, as an individual, make informed decisions whether or not we want to be vaccinated. And if I take my personal example, to be honest, when this pandemic started, there were a lot of conversations around, yeah, you need to, the airline, we will have to get vaccinated to travel. And I was like, oh no, I was very hesitant in getting vaccinated from a personal level, but also from a cultural level. Because, you know, with my African roots, we don't necessarily, I mean, I go to the doctor only when I need to. So let alone when it comes to vaccines that have been produced in such a short time. But the more information that we got from our employer, and it was really, they did it in a very smart way by inviting various speakers, doctors from all backgrounds. So okay. It was really a diversity of speakers, clinicists, pharmacies, so that, you know, you could make your own opinion whether or not you want to take the vaccine. So I think that's really something that I want to call out here, because it has helped me to feel 100%. I don't think so. I think it will take years before we know what the consequences are of this vaccine. But I feel more comfortable. And I had my first shot last week, actually.
Okay, nice. Well, you were talking about how your company brought diversity of scientists to try to reassure his employees to get the vaccine. And earlier again, you were talking about your diverse background. How does it translate in your HR practices? And do you feel like your company is ahead of lots of them when it comes to hiring according to diversity?
Thank you for acknowledging this. I always say that diversity and inclusion is who I am, is part of my DNA. So indeed, I did not wait for the traumatic incident of George Floyd to start talking about it. I'm talking about DEI since I'm born. And I transformed lived experiences into an opportunity to either educate people, to inspire people, or impact people. And within United, I really have the playground to impact employees and leaders in order to create a more inclusive and diverse workplace. I'm not necessarily highly involved in the recruitment piece, because I also believe that diversity is not limited to recruiting. So it's not only about representation, it's really having that holistic approach when it comes to diversity and inclusion. Representation matters because, you know, you can't be what you can't see. That's for sure. But it's also, once you hire a people of color or someone with a different background or a person with disability or transgender person, how do you ensure that this person feels welcomed, valued, respected, and stay with the company? How do we ensure that we develop that person within the company? Mm-hmm. So it's really have that strategic and holistic approach to ensure that once you have your workforce, how do they collaborate, interact together? It's inclusion every day in your behavior, in your communication, your language, and this really requires a lot of attention. And it's everyone's responsibility, because you were asking about HR, but that for me, diversity and inclusion should not be limited to HR department or a DEI department. Everyone, all of us globally around the world, we are all inclusive leaders, and we can all take small actions within our own circle, within our work environment, within the society, within the community, to ensure that we treat people with dignity and respect. So I'm doing this within my company through, you know, various activities. I've been board member of a employee resource group, but also outside the company, because I'm really nurturing myself by the people I interact with. And I've always done that it's not only within the company, but also outside the company. Before COVID and in my previous job, I was able to travel around the world in Europe, Middle East, and Africa, essentially. This has really shaped who I am and who I'm becoming, having that genuine curiosity for people, understanding and showing interest in their culture, that helped me to become a more inclusive leader, and also working on my own biases.
It's refreshing to see that even in big corporation, being a sustainable leader is still à la page, at least in France. I have a penultimate question, which is, what is HR in this
I add something on what you just said?
Yes, of course.
You know, our company or every company nowadays, we don't have the choice anymore. I mean, the world is diverse, that you like it or not. So we better be proactive about it than being forced by what's happening around the world. Because what's happening around the world has directly or indirectly an impact in our organization. And as an organization, you really have that corporate social responsibility to ensure that, you know, we say, I mean, in my company, it's connecting people, uniting the world. We can only do that. We can only do that in a successful way if we have the diverse workforce to represent the customers we serve. We have a workforce that is located worldwide. So we need to have that cultural intelligence. And if you look, everything that we are currently using, what's the origin of it? Everywhere.
Yes.
So.
Okay, that's very well said. So yeah, okay, thank you very much for this. So my question was, so who takes care of the HR today?
Who
takes care of your well-being? You take care of the well-being of employees and you take care of yours. How do you cope with all this change and all the workplace has to be very demanding for you today? So my question was, who's taking care of you?
Oh, well, I'm taking care of myself. But it took me time, to be honest. During the beginning of the pandemic, it was like all hands on deck, working hours and hours and hours. And then you suddenly realize that, well, this pandemic, we don't know when it's going to end. So we better take care of ourselves in order to be able to take care of someone else. So if I use the metaphor of the airline industry, you know, when you're on a plane and you listen to the safety instructions,
yes.
What do they say if you listen to them? They say, you know, put your oxygen mask first before being able to help anyone else. Well, it's exactly the same in life. You have to protect yourself, to take care of yourself before being able to help anyone else. And that has helped me to have a balanced, healthy life. So I'm talking about, you know, the mind, the soul, and the body. If I think about the mindset and the body right now, I don't know if it's a coincidence that we have this interview today, but today is the first day of the Ramadan and I'm Muslim. So I'm really looking forward to this month because it will definitely boost me in slowing down, reflecting, self-reflecting, spiritually, physically as well. And it's really self-care. Self-care is important.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. To conclude this interview then, if you had a magic wand with which you could do whatever you please, what would you change within the next 5 years or so?
I think if I had a magic wand, and I don't have one, I would say that I would remove the judgmental piece of people. People are very fast in judging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think if we would be in a place where we start from a place of discovery, in a place of engaging into a conversation, in a place of curiosity versus judging, it could be a good start. I'm not saying that it would resolve everything, but it's a good start. It's a good place to start.
Okay, that sounds an interesting approach.
Yeah, very good approach.
I think that concludes our little interview. We thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very, very much.
Thank you for the invite.
You've been listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. If you would like to know more about sustainable development and or corporate social responsibility, please visit www.science-by-trianon.com, where you will find our blog and contact details, and where you can subscribe to our newsletter.